On this Friday, as usual, we're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions in Agrible. Hey, Eric, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, let's start with what the weather forecast looks like. Are we going to get more snow?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't like the system that's coming out of the panhandles of Oklahoma and Texas at the end of the week. Right now, it's really wet along the southeast and on the east coast, and that system moves out. And then behind it, there's a wave right now that's out in the Pacific, but it's screaming through pretty quickly, and it's going to start a system off at the end of our weekend that's going to basically bring us snow chances for the early part of next week. Now, it's pretty tricky on trying to pin down amounts right now and where the heaviest snow band is going to be, but it does look to cut across parts of Kansas, Missouri, in through central Illinois and over to Indiana and Ohio. So this could be a few inches out of this one, quick hitter coming through here, but definitely some colder air coming in behind it. So we got an active pattern here in the near term, and that's the system I'll be watching most carefully early next week.
Have you been traveling this week? I think that's the case, and I suspect you've had eyes on some interesting things.
Yeah, I think the most interesting thing that I saw this week was I was up in North Dakota to start the week, and I just was amazed by how much corn is still in the ground. They still have a foot of snow on the ground, and there was, in some places, the drifts were coming up 4 or 5 feet up on the corn crop that's still out there. In addition to that, looking at some of the data, there's as much as 6 inches of excess moisture in their soil right now. And therefore, a bunch of farmers I talked to said all of their sump pumps are running, their tile drain, even though the topsoil is frozen, but their tile drain's still running. They've got so much water. And I hate to say it, but I asked them, I said, when are you folks going to be able to get this crop out? And because of the cold weather that's locked in up there, they're going to get a lot of these little clipper systems coming through. But that clipper pattern, they're not going to be warming up anytime soon. And unfortunately, a lot of them said it'll be something that they'll be mowing down next to April. So this is it's a rough go in the North Central Plains right now for sure. And I have a lot of sympathy for what those folks had gone through this year.
And you went from there to where? The southeast?
Yeah, I'm right now in North Carolina, and it's very, very wet down here. And that's one thing that's quite interesting right now is I was talking to a bunch of farmers down here and trying to explain to them what I think the rest of winter is going to look like. And because of some of the things happening in the central and North Pacific, specifically the very warm water that's in North Pacific, it looks as though this is going to be a year where we have a very active storm track that starts somewhere in Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas, and then has one preferred path that goes through the Ohio River Valley and another one that kind of skirts along the southeast. So my forecast for a lot of these folks here was to be on the lookout for a wetter than average winter. And maybe for us, if that storm track does hold true, we could also see a pretty active storm track for Illinois as well. And that may include some more snow. So that warm Pacific keeps all the heat there and not so much here in the mid part of the country.
And then you didn't mention a polar vortex, but because it's that time of year, I think I want to know about it.
I know. So right now, over the next about 7-8 days, we're going to watch the polar vortex split apart. And one piece of it's going to be sitting over parts of North America, specifically over the Hudson Bay, and another piece will be over Siberia. And normally when we see that configuration, we get really worried about brutally cold weather. But remember, the polar vortex is in the stratosphere, not in the troposphere. That's the layer that we live in. And sometimes both the troposphere and stratosphere kind of talk to one another and they're connected and communicating well. This particular case is not so, which means I'm going to have to watch it wobble around maybe another month before we probably get a real polar vortex disruption, which could come by maybe mid-January.
And does it have an impact on South America, or should we discuss something else there?
No. So when we think about that particular factor, it is connected to some of the behavior of the winds and the ocean temperatures in the Pacific. But really for South America, what will be most critical for them is to watch the Indian Ocean dipole event finally fade off to be basically a non-factor by the time we get into January, mid-January. Now, why that's critical is that's going to put another circulation into control over the Brazilian monsoon. We call that the MJO. And when we talk every Friday, we need to be paying attention to whether or not the MJO is in phases 3, 4, 5, and 6 or 7, 8, 1, and 2. Because 3, 4, 5, and 6 would be very dry phases for parts of Brazil. And right now, some of the longer range projections that just came out are projecting Brazil's main growing areas to see a drier than average rest of their summer. So we'll have to watch and see if that verifies. Certainly in the near term, it's very dry in eastern Brazil and only wet in parts of northern Argentina and southern Brazil. So there is a lack of solidly good weather down in South America as well right now.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, of course, is Eric Snodgrass with Nutrien Ag Solutions.